WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The jazz critic Mike Joyce once wrote that Dave Frischberg writes the kinds of songs that Johnny Mercer and Woody Allen might have come up with had they ever collaborated. Frischberg's songs are performed by many jazz and cabaret singers. Rosemary Clooney sang his Sweet Kentucky Ham at the White House and recorded his song Let's Eat Home on her latest recording. We're going to hear Dave Frischberg interpreting his own songs, accompanied by a great pianist, Dave Frischberg. He's recorded several albums. When we first broadcast this concert in 1991, the song most listeners called about wasn't yet on an album. Now it's the title track of his CD, Quality Time, on a small label called Sterling Records. Frischberg lives in Portland, Oregon. Our concert was recorded in the Fresh Air studio. Dave Frischberg, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry. I'm glad to be here.
You've brought a brand new song with you, and I'd love to hear it.
Okay. Great. I'd like to do it for you. I'll be late getting home from the office, and so will you. 'Cause we both got a million calls to return and a million things to do. We're not seeing enough of each other, 'cause truth be told, we're up to our ears in our careers, and we're putting our hearts on hold. So darling, let me bring you up to speed. A little time together's what we need. Quality time. We both deserve a little quality time. We'll find a small hotel, remote and quiet. In case they want to sell, my firm could buy it. Then we develop it and gentrify it. We're talking quality time, quality time. We owe ourselves a little quality time. In the Bahamas, we can let our stress go. We'll walk along the beach and dine al fresco. I'll take a power lunch with Robert Vesco. We're talking quality time. Come fly with me, unwind, kick back, relax. I'll bring my laptop fax. You'll work on your new screenplay. I'll update my resume. Quality time, a little frolic and frivolity time. We'll take a seminar on self-hypnosis, so we can learn to stop and smell the roses. We'll do a workshop on the grieving process. Learning to cry is no crime. We're talking quality time. We'll hit the tennis courts in our Adidas. Some influential sorts are bound to meet us. We'll play it smart, of course, and let them beat us. We're talking quality time. We'll find some upscale friends to share some space with, a wealthy couple we can interface with, a smart attorney we could start a case with. We're talking quality time. Come dine with me. This time you choose the wine. Romance is the bottom line. And later, when we're alone, hang on, there's my other phone. We'll have a ball, but now I got to deal with this other call. We both been chewing more than we can bite off. We got to take at least a day and night off. I'll speak to Sid, he'll make it all a write-off. This may not cost us a dime. I'll fax you back with a plan of attack to let the quality time begin. We'll lock in the time frame, and you can pencil me in. Better pencil me in.
I love it. You know, you do something that Cole Porter used to do, which is like incorporate like proper nouns, you know, like names of people from the people writing the song.
Right. And,
oh, that's a really funny song. You've gotten in everything.
That's my job.
You got your start as a pianist as opposed to a songwriter, pianist, and singer.
As a pianist, yes.
You were a sideman with a lot of musicians. You were a house pianist at one of the New York clubs. What made you realize that, like, your ultimate calling was going to be writing songs as well as playing and singing those songs, too?
Well, as far as writing is concerned, I began to write soon after I got to New York and while I was a sideman, as you say, and I used to try to write so that other singers would be interested, or that because I never dreamed of myself as being the singer, and I would write to make other recording artists. I don't even know who they were, but to get their interest, to see if maybe, you know, who could it be, Connie Francis or Paul Anka, or would sing such a thing, you know. And it turned out that I was writing, I wrote terrible stuff. It wasn't very good because I didn't mean it. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I was kind of writing down to my song, and that doesn't make it. It was obvious that I wasn't really that kind of a writer, and I was just trying to write amateurishly. And so I stopped, and I began to just write what came naturally to me, and ended up being probably the only one who sings it.
What I like about composers singing their songs, you know, is that if you aren't like relying on a lot of technique, then there's something else in your voice. It's you know what I mean? In addition to...
Well, my main purpose is to make sure that the words are all understood.
Well, I think composers like you have a way of kind of putting across a song and of putting a certain kind of, the right emotion, whether it's wit or sentiment. Do you know what I mean? Just kind of striking the right emotion in the way you're performing it.
Well, that could be. And if there's any technique to what I do as far as accompanying myself, I think it might lie in the fact that a lot of times I sing to silence. I stop playing when I sing certain songs, especially up-tempo jazz things, and I leave open spaces for my voice to execute the music. And then I hear other singers trying to do some of my up-tempo songs, and I wonder why it sounds cluttered, and I wonder why they sound, why they express difficulty. That's a hard song, you know, to get those things out. Well, then I see, well, the reason I'm getting it out is because instinctively I stop playing behind myself at that moment and allow the words to happen. And, of course, that doesn't occur to them because someone else is playing the piano, and it wouldn't occur to him either, you know.
What's an example of a song where you lay out like
Well, for instance, a song that like Zoot Walks In, which is full of jazz articulation, you know. Jazz is a saxophone sound. Not every player's got his own sound. Well, you see how much there was silence in back of me. So other singers try to sing this, and they got piano player playing, jazz is a saxophone sound, you know what I mean? And they got
exactly.
All this stuff going on in back of them. Naturally, it sounds a little cluttered. I've noticed that myself recently. I can get the words out because I'm accompanying myself, and I know enough to stop playing at those moments.
Have you ever sang with anybody else accompanying you?
Oh, only for brief hysterical moments. I sang with a full orchestra once. That was really terrifying. In California, Peter Matz was conducting, and it was a tribute to Johnny Mandel, and I was doing a Mandel song called El Cajon with a full orchestra behind me. What a panicky feeling. I sent Peter Matz the music, and he called me back on the phone. He said, don't you want to put this maybe a whole tone higher or maybe a minor third higher? I said, well, gee, I can't sing that high. He says, well, you got it in a very confidential key. And I realized that, you know, I wrote most of my keys for myself in a range that I can handle, but it is a confidential one. And when you got an orchestra in back of you, you can't sing like that. You know, you can't sing, jazz is a saxophone. You got to sing, jazz is a saxophone. You got to do it because otherwise you're not going to be heard. See, so that's terrifying to sing with a orchestra, and it's also scary to sing with another piano player. I did that a couple of times. It's like jumping out of a plane without a chute. You know?
Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll hear some music with our guest, Dave Frischberg. We'll be back in a couple of seconds. This is Fresh Air. We're featuring a 1991 concert with Dave Frischberg. Dave, you got another song for us?
Sure. I thought maybe I'll play the piano a little bit, huh?
Sure. Oh, yeah.
I always end up playing Duke Ellington music. I don't know why. I just seem to gravitate toward it. He's one of my favorite people. This is The Mooch. Duke wrote this in the late 1920s. And in the middle of it, I've incorporated a more recent Ellington tune called Jones. I kind of slide into that in the middle. Thank you.
love what you do with that. I really think of the Mooch. Maybe there's like an Ellington solo record, and I'll sound stupid because I don't know about it. But I think of the Mooch as being one of the Ellington compositions that really accentuates the reed section with you know, the reeds kind of sliding between notes and wailing.
Yeah, right, right.
Is it a hard one to do at the piano, to figure out what to do with it at the piano?
Not really. I mean, I do something different with it, I guess, every time. But I do kind of plan for it to peter out at the end. Got the right guy, right?
You said something once to Whitney Balliot of The New Yorker about lyrics that I quite like, that good lyrics come up to the edge of poetry and turn left.
Well, it was one of those things I wish I had never said. It's utter nonsense. I have no idea what that means.
Oh, I know what it means to me.
Well, I don't know. I guess that I knew it at the time what it meant to me, too, but I was horrified to see that he wrote it down and used it.
Well, I'm just here to, I guess, embarrass you. With
well,
it
no, I don't know what that means, but I do know that I think a better, more telling little aphorism was said by Frank Lesser, who said that lyric writing is not literature and it's not poetry, it's journalism. And I think that really says it.
Since we're talking about lyrics, let me ask you to do another of your own. And I think we've got a song coming up that's, I think it's really become one of your most popular.
Sweet
songs.
Kentucky Ham.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's one of my most popular, but I was very flattered and pleased to receive a book in the mail the other day from a writer named Terry Teachout. He's written memoirs called City Limits about his life as a young boy and a student in Sykeston, Missouri. And he quoted this song, Sweet Kentucky Ham, as part of a chapter on life on the road with a jazz band, Woody Herman. And I was very pleased. It's a terrific book, by the way. Would you like to hear this song?
No, I was just pretending.
Okay.
Yeah.
Here it is. It's 6 p.m. Supper time in South Bend, Indiana. And you figure what the hell you can eat in your hotel. So you order up room service on the phone. And you watch the local news and dine alone. You got to take what little pleasures you can find. When you've got sweet Kentucky ham on your mind, nothing but sweet Kentucky ham on your mind. It's 10 p.m. They're rolling up the sidewalks in Milwaukee. And the only place to eat is just across the street. So you sit there with a bowl of navy bean, and you turn the pages of your magazine, and you feel you want to quit while you're behind, 'cause you've got sweet Kentucky ham on your mind, nothing but sweet Kentucky ham on your mind. And you feel like you're forever on the phone. 10:30. Let it ring. Dial again. Same damn thing. And you're really getting hungry for some talk. Grab a shower. Take a walk. It's 1 a.m. They're serving up Last Call in Cincinnati. But it's still a nighttime town if you know your way around. And despite yourself, you find you're wide awake. And you're staring at your scrambled eggs and steak. And you must admit your heart's about to break when you think of what you left behind. And you got sweet Kentucky ham on your mind, nothing but sweet Kentucky ham on your mind.
Really nice.
Thank you.
Dave Frischberg. It has been a real treat to have you here. I really want to thank you for coming and playing for us. It's really been a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Dave Frischberg, you can hear some of his recent songs on his CD, Quality Time, on the Sterling record label. Our concert was recorded in 1991. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.